All right, hello everybody. Welcome back to our podcast show, The Pulse on Technology. And I'm Mike Polsey, the founder and CEO of MA Polsey Consulting, and I am the host of the podcast show. I have with me today a guest, happens to be a senior security analyst here with MA Polsey. His name is Jeffrey Isherwood, and we call him Ish for short. So Ish, just a quick background about yourself.
Quick background about me. Okay. Well, I've been doing cyber and communications security for a little bit over 30 years.
30 years?
Yeah. I started off with the military and got out of the Air Force and went into doing a lot of contracting for the government. I've worked for every branch of the U.S. military and about 18 other federal government agencies, like the FBI, the Secret Service, National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, probably about 24 different state police agencies, as well as a bunch of private sector companies like communications and banking and healthcare and stuff like that.
Good extensive background.
Oh, yeah.
Ish works out of our Rome headquarters here in Rome, New York. And today what I thought we'd do is we would talk about security awareness training. And Ish, this is very near and dear to his heart.
Oh, it is. It is. Just about every place that I've ever worked in the last 30 years, security awareness training has been part of my job. You know, teaching the users that we're protecting how to help us protect the data. It's always been part of my job. So yeah, it's something I'm very passionate about.
Well, what's great about this segment is that if you remember, we were picking up here, and it's been a little bit of a gap here. We apologize about the time between the last podcast and this one. We had a busy, hectic fourth quarter, but I think we're back on track here now. So please stay tuned in for other podcasts. But we left off with multi-factor authentication. If you remember from the original podcast that we did with a company called Fifth Wall Solutions, we did that on cybersecurity liability insurance. And in that, some of the minimum expectations that the insurance carriers are looking for are multi-factor authentication, segregated backups that follow a 3-2-1 backup principle, next-gen antivirus, endpoint detection and response, and security awareness training. That's a big one. So we thought we'd pick up with security awareness training, kind of flows well, since the last segment we did was on multi-factor authentication. So, Ish, what is it supposed to be?
So security awareness training is typically it's a requirement that's levied against businesses and government agencies, so organizations, not just businesses, either by their cyber insurance carrier or in some cases, because they are required by law to be compliant with some sort of government framework, whether it's GLBA or the New York State Department of Financial Services, National Institutes for Standards and Technology, NIST, you know, all these different agencies and different organizations have compliance requirements that, depending on what business sector or silo you're in, you may have to be compliant with it. And a lot of these compliance things, like the New York State Shield Act, says you have to have a security awareness training program. The New York State Shield Act says that. Okay. And if you're an entity that does business in New York, which most of our clients are, right? And even if you're outside of New York, but you do business with New York, then the New York State Shield Act applies to you. And it says that the organization has to do their due diligence to properly train, prepare, and educate the users in how they can be part of the cybersecurity machine. And I believe that every user in the organization is part of the cybersecurity team, because every one of them individually has the opportunity to circumvent security. And so they've also got to be part of enforcing security, right?
And end users, are they? They're the last line of defense, or would you say they're the first line?
Actually, I tend to say that they're both, because they're the ones who make those decisions, right? So let's take for example, phishing emails. Mm-hmm. Okay, depending on which study and which white paper and report you read out there, okay, end users are responsible for between 80 and 95%, depending on which study you read, okay, between 80 and 95% of all network data breaches in the last 5 years. So we spent a lot of money on firewalls. Isn't that a horrible number?
A lot of money on technology when you got a big piece of it being the human element.
Right. Your organization spends $500,000 to get the best firewall they can find. Mm-hmm. They buy the firewall. Engineers come and install it professionally. It's all set up by the right people. It's following all the industry best practices. It is locked down as tight as it can. We educate your users and your engineers on how this firewall is going to protect your organization. And then one email comes in that says that it came from somebody that they know named Bob, and click on this link. And a user clicks on that link. And next thing you know, the network is infected, that firewall is useless, and bad guys are coming through the front door. That's horrible. That's bad, right? So they're the first line. They're the ones, the users are the first line of defense. They received that email. Okay, when that email made it through, if you think about it, that email made it through the firewall, it made it through whatever mail filtering system that they're using, okay? It made it through all that stuff to arrive in the user's inbox.
For the user to make that determination.
So the user can make that determination. So the invisible first line was that firewall and that mail filter, okay? Right. But the users, as far as users are concerned, they're now presented with the choice. They are the first defender. Okay, there's not an automated system that has to make a choice. Mm-hmm. And depending on how we've taught them, that's why I always say security awareness, training, and education. Instead of SAT, I like SATE. I like to throw that education on the end because it's really about educating.
Like that.
With training, we teach people what to do and how to do things that are already known and expected.
Right.
Okay, education is different. So training versus education. With education, we teach people how to think for themselves, how to spot things, how to act on their feelings and do what they know is the right thing to do based upon their education. So when a zero-day exploit comes in, when a hacker attack that no one's ever seen before hits that user, if they've been educated well, they will still be suspicious. They may still avoid having a problem or clicking on something that they should not have. If they just barely go off of training and we just teach them what we already know about, then they're not able to adapt to new threats.
Right.
So that's why I like education. So the first line.
Makes sense.
First line, they decide to open that email. Last line, they decide to click on that link. Okay? They are their first line and they are the last line. Because if they don't click on that link, then nothing else needs to happen. Nobody's been breached. Nothing bad has occurred. They are the ones who make that conscious decision. That's why I said they're the first one when they open that email, and they're the last one when they decide to click or not to click.
Gotcha. So we know what it should be.
Right.
But what is it really? What's really going on here? I mean, you feel like most organizations are really adhering to this?
Well, I'm not going to name any names. But I've worked for a lot of places in the course of my career. And I've had these conversations with those people whose titles begin with the big capital C, right? Your CEOs, your CIOs, CISO, CFO, CTO, you name it, right? All those folks. And the people with the word director in their title, okay? And for most of them, they look at security awareness training as a cost center. It's the cost of doing business. Your cyber insurance company tells you, you have to have a security awareness training program. So they know they have to spend some money on it. They know they have to have a program, okay? The compliance, let's say if they're HIPAA or New York State Shield Act, those regulations say you must be compliant. So there's another place where people are telling them they have to be compliant.
Required annual training event.
Yes, it's a required annual training, which costs money. Mm-hmm. And while your users are doing the training, they're not working.
Right.
Okay. So a lot of the people with that big C, they look at security awareness training and they see it's going to cost me money. It's going to reduce productivity. And does it really matter? Didn't we just spend $500,000 on the new firewall? Do we have to spend another 10 grand to train everybody on how to spot bad emails? Now let the firewall do it. There's a tendency amongst technology.
We spend a lot of money on technology. Let them do it.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot
of people in technology say we solved the problem by putting in this massive computer. Let it do its job. However, users still need to know Because that, like I said, that 10-day email that comes flying through the firewall and gets through, need them to realize that it's dangerous. We need them to spot that it's suspicious. We need them to think that that link may not be safe. We need their help. So we have to educate them properly. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, most organizations I've worked at, it has been a once a year occurrence, typically in October, because October is, quote, National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, right? And so a lot of organizations really ramp up the awareness training in October so they can say, hey, look at us, we're being compliant. It's Awareness Month and we're making everybody aware. However, that's October. What about November? What about December? Yeah. What about June? Or the exact opposite of October, right? What about the other side of the year? If no one's teaching them, if no one's keeping them, keeping it refreshed, you've ever heard the phrase, if you don't use it, you lose it?
Right? That's the case of this.
So with awareness training, as I said, and I say awareness training education, you don't want it to become stale. You don't want your users to become complacent. It should be smaller, not a month-long fire hose worth of information. It should be smaller, constant, bite-sized chunks throughout the year so that they're always getting security education.
So what do you mean by ongoing? I mean, well, I know that, hey, classroom style, once a year, you know, that's probably the least effective method, but...
I think the least effective method might be a webinar once a year. Because they don't even watch the webinar, right? They'll put it up on a screen on the side while they're doing something else, right? So that webinar, if it was in classroom, the instructor would see them not paying attention and could call them on it.
Yep.
The webinar, I think, is the least effective.
That's the worst. Okay. Yeah. So an ongoing training program where you're constantly being, you know, the end users are being challenged, it's more proactive.
Very proactive. You put up posters in the kitchen, in the break room, okay? Mm-hmm. You send out newsletters. Once a month, once a quarter, right? You send out just an occasional email alert, even if it was just a, hey, there's a new hack out there, everybody pay attention and everybody be on the lookout. Mm-hmm. Just a security alert educates people, right? And if you vary up the medium, so it's not always the webinar. Occasionally it's a guest speaker. Maybe occasionally it's a lunch and learn, right? An informative email. A newsletter.
What about testing the end users, like phishing?
Like phishing?
Phishing attacks and things like that.
I personally prefer the word simulation as opposed to testing.
Okay.
Okay? Because testing implies pass-fail. Mm-hmm. All right? And while it's possible to fail a phishing test, I'm doing air quotes right now, you can fail a phishing test, right? Mm-hmm. It has such a bad connotation to it. We don't want to shame users. We don't want to blame users. We don't want them to be afraid of the security office. We don't want them to see us as the bad guys who get everyone in trouble because they don't do the right thing, right? It should be a partnership.
I know here internally, so I'll just say this, as president and CEO, I have fallen for a phishing simulation, if you will. And then I was immediately told I had to
do remedial training, right? Remedial you had a slap training. On the wrist, had to do remedial training?
Rehab.
Well, I do see the benefit in remedial training.
It was good.
Because if there's an attack technique or tactic being used and you didn't catch it, we need to improve your education then. Okay? Because you didn't catch it. However, punishing you for not catching it is a bad idea as well. You know,
I didn't even know I was being phished or simulated again. So I've fallen for this.
Well, the best simulation should be regular. And I don't mean like on a scheduled basis, but reoccurring. Mm-hmm. And the users shouldn't know when they're coming. I did work one place where when the new phishing test came out, the first person that got it, like a gopher, would pop up out of their cube and tell everybody, oh, there's a phishing test going on. And next thing you know, everybody would pass it because word got out that there was a test going on, right? So I don't like testing everybody at the same time because I don't want them to collude and share with each other like that. I don't like announcing to users because I don't want them prepping. If you want to see how well your program is doing, the users shouldn't see it coming, right? But I also don't like to punish people for failure.
I would like to reward.
Yeah. So how about this? Instead of punishing people with remedial training if they don't pass it, okay, we take a note of what tactic or technique did not get caught, okay, and we gear our education for the future to fixing that. In the meantime, people who pay attention and do the right thing during the simulation, why don't we throw all their names in a hat and draw randomly to reward all of the people who paid attention with a right. Amazon gift card, maybe dinner at a local restaurant, half a day off early, whatever. There's a dozen different incentives you could do.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But if you reward them for doing well, then everyone wants to do well. You know, my wife and I have a large family. We have 5 kids. All right. And I've seen this with the kids. You know, mm-hmm. if the kid does something bad, you punish them. Everyone else goes, ooh, and they get afraid. Okay. But does that really help educate them? Or does that just make them afraid of failure?
It's the carrot versus the stick.
I like Absolutely. The carrot better than the stick. Sometimes Absolutely. The stick is needed, but I prefer the carrot. I think the carrot, if you use the carrot, then your user community becomes part of your education mechanism yeah. yep. and they become part of your security team. Right? Mm-hmm. They all become part of the security mechanism that helps protect the organization. So mm-hmm. carrot, to me, is the way to go.
And it's amazing to me. I feel like, you know, from my own professional observations that companies are least likely to want to spend the money on awareness training education because how do you see the ROI? Well, the ROI is...
Well, there does tend to be...
Felt,
yeah.
You know, you don't see it right away, but you're protecting the organization.
Unfortunately, there's no really good way to measure how effective your security awareness program is, mm-hmm. okay? If we take those people with a capital C, right? They all report to the board of
yeah,
directors, right?
Yeah, I fall into that category.
Board of directors has a meeting, and they look at it and they go, the security team would like $15,000 for security awareness training and education next year. Well, but we didn't have any breaches this year. Our security was pretty good. Why do we have to give them more money? Apparently our protections are good enough already, right? That's the mindset that people get into.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they get into that mindset that, oh, well, we're already doing well, so why do we have to spend more? Mm-hmm. Okay? Because unfortunately, training is a cost center.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's education.
It's education, and you can't ask the phishing attack, hey, how did you get through? You know, I mean, you hear on the radio, somebody will do a radio commercial. They're like, tell them Bob sent you during the radio commercial. Mm-hmm. And that's a trick that they're using to try and see how effective that commercial was. Mm-hmm. Okay. Everybody who says Bob sent me heard that commercial. Well, we can't do that in security. We can't do right. that with our education.
Right.
So if it looks mm-hmm. like we're already super effective because nobody broke in, then why do we need to make the program bigger next year? That's a hard one.
A lot of times, with a good program in place, you know, an ongoing phishing attacks or mm-hmm. phishing simulations, if you will,
yeah.
people don't even know. Let's say they pass, you know, well, they don't pass, but they don't fall for it.
Right.
Well, you know, we don't have any real feedback that says they did something successful.
Well, and keep in mind, security awareness training, okay, and education is more than just phishing, okay? We talk a lot about phishing because back to that number, right? Depending mm-hmm. on which report you read, 80 to 95% of all breaches can be traced back to a user,
mm-hmm.
okay? So mm-hmm. we think phish, but it could have been a user who found a thumb drive in the parking lot
right?
and walked into the office and plugged it in.
Right.
It could be a user who read about a new piece of software on Twitter or their favorite tech magazine, and they decided to go download it. So they Googled that piece of software and didn't go to the manufacturer's website. They went somewhere else by accident,
right?
Okay, because they weren't paying attention, and they downloaded something harmful and installed it on the computer. Those are all user problems, and they're not phishing. So 80 to 95% of the problems are caused by users.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean phishing. So we have to teach them about all security.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bring in a wireless device from home and plug it in. Not into the corporate network.
Right.
Don't plug in strange thumb drives. Don't take a CD-ROM that you found that is unlabeled and put it in your computer just to see what it is. You know, don't download software to install on your government organization or company computer if you don't have permission and approval to do it first, because it could be dangerous. It could have unintended consequences. So security awareness training and education is more than just phishing. It's about the overall, I might even use the word holistic. Overall holistic education. We want to teach the users to right. all be better net citizens, to all have better cyber hygiene, all be smarter about what they're doing online.
So what does it help prevent? I mean, If I'm the CEO and I've got to make a decision to make an investment here, which I hope everybody in their right mind does that, what does it help prevent?
Well, it helps prevent a lot of extra work for your security team, okay? I mean, if you think about it, when it comes to the explaining the cost center, when the bosses say, well, how much is it going to cost us? Education costs us a lot, and we can't tell if it's working. Here's my response to that. Things that good, a good, strong, robust education program can help prevent. Business email compromise. Spotting fake emails when they come in and not clicking on things, not giving up your username and password, not compromising your email. Data breach, right? Unauthorized access, unauthorized downloads, loss of reputation, loss of revenue, loss of clients and customers.
Some of those things you can't even put a price on. That's what's scary about this, you know? Loss of reputation. Can you put a price on that one?
Well, I mean, if a company gets, forgive me, hacked, okay, and they lose data, and that gets out into the public, and their market share goes down, their stock price goes down, they lose clients, they lose customers, the government fines them, New York State Shield Act. Maybe they weren't protecting properly. Cyber insurance carrier drops them because they weren't doing things properly. All those bad things can happen. Those can tank a business. Many small and medium-sized businesses cannot survive any one of those events, mind all of them.
If you think of the direct impact, I mean, just ransomware alone. Jeez, I mean, if you're a small company and you've got to pay ransomware to get your data back, that could really put somebody in the... Mm-hmm. In the red.
Well, I had a friend of mine recently reached out to me on behalf of her business, her company that she works for, and she said, we haven't had a security assessment in a while, and I'm worried that we're vulnerable. Would you talk to the boss? Maybe we'd be interested in having an assessment done. And I said, I'd love to talk to your boss about this because I think everybody should have one done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And one of the things we look at in a security assessment is your training and education program, okay? I asked her, I said, I just have a really quick question for you. If your company were to suddenly lose access to all of its information technology for 6 hours, what would that do to your business?
Yeah.
If you were to lose control of your website and someone were to post scandalous or offensive images and language on your website, what would that do to your reputation? And would you lose clients? Would you lose business? Right? What would happen if all of your data, all your computers are there, but your data is suddenly inaccessible, ransomware? Could your company continue to operate? And she said, any one of those events would probably actually shut the company down forever.
Oh God.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then I ask you, is security awareness training education worth it? I think it is.
Absolutely.
If you can spend a small amount of money on educating your staff to prevent them from accidentally clicking on something and causing a bigger problem that could kill your company, isn't that worth it? In the long run?
I would think.
You know, I would think so.
Everybody would see that. But let me ask you this. What are still some of the problems with maybe even a traditional security awareness training, you know, that's maybe, you know,
like an internet-based delivery automated system kind of
like
thing?
Something that's maybe not regular, and it's you know, does the content get old?
It does. A lot, and there's a ton of companies out there, and if any of them are listening, I'm not knocking them, okay? Because they all have their place. Mm-hmm. You know, when I say I like multidisciplinary training and education, okay? I think those companies that do the automated webinar delivery.
Yeah.
I love them. They're great.
But low participation. Low participation right there.
They do. And you know, you have to chase the employees to make them do it.
Well, the funny thing that I've noticed is you keep referring to the C-level people, but they're the ones that think they need it the least. But they're actually the ones that are the biggest target.
Well,
I've seen it.
Yeah. When I used to do penetration testing, one of the things I've done in my course of my career, anybody whose title was a capital C is someone I aimed for.
Sure.
Okay, because they tend to be a little bit more self-assured, and they think that they are safe, and they don't think that they're targets, and they tend to have faith, unfortunately, in their people, okay? And so they make very juicy, easy targets. They also have access two levels of information at the company level that the lower rank and file don't have, you know?
Yeah, I've seen this before too. I've seen CEOs, CFOs get hit.
Mm-hmm.
And just fall into things. You know, don't forget, you're a target.
Yeah. Some of the other problems we have out there, so you asked earlier, the information becomes outdated very, very easily. Okay, because if you think about it, there are bad guys in practically every country in the world taking aim at somebody at any given moment in time. Okay, there's a lot more bad guys out there digitally than good guys. All right, they're always aiming at somebody and they're always looking for a new angle. So if they're always innovating and looking for a new angle, the training has to innovate with them. The training has to grow, it has to change, it has to adapt so that the users are always being informed of the latest, greatest thing. That's why I don't like Security Awareness Month. If all we do is teach people in October, then when in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, and August, when new stuff comes out, they don't know about it. It should be constant.
Yeah, right? I took some training, because I know we do quarterly training, but then we're simulated, in between.
Oh, yeah. I like annual. I like an annual training requirement. Mm-hmm. I like a quarterly training requirement. I like a monthly training requirement. Some hit or miss weekly, random updates kind of thing.
Last one we took here internally in our company, there's some things I picked up and I was like, wow, I didn't realize that. So you pick up on things.
Oh, when you did the remedial training.
When I did the remedial training.
Yep.
It's like there's things that you...
There's always going to be new things. Always new things. Part of my job is to stay on top of all those new things. And I tell you, I learn something new here almost every single day. That's how fast the landscape changes. So if your security people are learning new things every day, your non-security people need to be taught constantly. We also have to worry about them doing things like, the automated delivery thing. Mm-hmm. We have to worry about them opening a tab in their browser to show the movie.
Yes,
and then not listening or paying attention and just pencil whipping the results.
Yeah. So that's the low participation.
Low participation.
They lose interest and forget what they learn. Mm-hmm. This happens a lot.
And a lot of those automated portals are very, very focused on compliance. So the content of what they're teaching is very, very compliance focused.
Right.
It covers what you need to make sure you're following the letter of the law. However, don't you want to do better than that? Don't you want to be safer than just what the government tells you?
Do you think these programs for companies are an administrative burden to them?
They can be. Because if you think about it, one of those online portals that automatically delivers training content to your people, that has to be updated. When a new person comes on, they have to be added to the system. When a person leaves, they have to remove from the system. When people don't pay attention to the training, you mentioned complacency, right? Or when in low participation, there's always people who don't want to participate. They put it off. Some of them, they're not even being malicious. I'm really busy right now. I'll take the training tomorrow.
Right.
And then the next day, I'm really busy today. I'll take the training tomorrow. Next thing you know, it's 3 weeks later. They haven't done the training, right? So from an administrative burden, we have to assign somebody to chase those people down. It can definitely be a burden. But again, I have to keep coming back to, if you didn't have a good program, right, what would the cost be then? If you had a data breach, if you had ransomware, right? I think it's worth having an engineer chase those 25 people down and make them take the training than it is to just let those 25 people run amok and maybe click on everything. So
$64,000 question-ish.
Okay.
Out of everything, and security is a multi-layered approach. Mm-hmm. There's no one silver bullet.
No, so none.
There's technology, and then there's the end users involved. Mm-hmm. There's awareness training and education. If you had to put a weighting on awareness training and education,
okay,
where would you think it fell? Would it be, having this, to me, a good awareness and training program in any company is probably worth 25-50% of the posturing that you would be doing.
Okay.
Would you say
I get the question. Here's the thing about security though. Some things require an awful lot more work than others. Right? So it's hard to put a percentage on it. But how about this? If you ask me to name the top three things that I would recommend to any company that they should be doing to secure their company,
what is that?
Security awareness, training, and education would be number three.
What's one and two?
Number one would be properly securing your inbound and outbound traffic. Okay, and that means web proxies, email filters, firewalls, all that technology that puts the wall around your castle, right? So yeah. That should be number one. You got to be doing that, and you got to be doing it well. Okay. And number two for me would be proper monitoring and response. So number one, you got to lock the whole thing down and watch things. Mm-hmm. Number two, while you're watching things, you got to respond to them.
Yeah, like managed detection and response.
Managed detection and response is a very good example, right? If a tree falls in the wood and knows nobody there to hear it, does the tree really fall, right? How about if an alarm goes off on the firewall, but there's no IT people to answer it, did the alarm actually matter?
I think it does.
Okay, it does matter. But a lot of organizations are checkmarking that compliance box, and they say, oh, sure, we're watching, but they're not, okay? Right. So that's what I mean by you got to have a robust outer wall. You got to have a robust monitoring and reaction program. Mm-hmm. And then number three would be all those users. Teach them what to do. Teach them how to do it right. Teach them how to do it securely. In an organization of 500 people, okay, they have three firewalls and 500 end users. If they secure those three firewalls really well, but they don't bother to help those 500 end users, then it's 500 potential points of ingress or egress that could violate their network.
Oh, gosh, I know.
Right? So they have. That's why I think it's so important. Not more important than firewalls, not more important than monitoring, but it's one of my top three.
Yeah.
It is one of my top three.
That's amazing. Hearing from somebody that's a practitioner, been in the business a long time, you know, it's just really odd to me how this seems to be on the back burner for so many companies that I've... Yeah.
I'm always shocked when I see that. When we do a security assessment of a client, and I look at them and go, hey, do you have a security awareness training program? Oh, sure we do. Every October, we send, I go, hold on. Are you guys doing anything other than October?
Yeah, once a year.
Once a year? No.
Not enough.
No, not enough. Not at all. And I also like multimedia, multidiscipline, okay? Use that automated tool. Mm-hmm. Oh, by all means. I would use that automated tool, and I would schedule my monthly, quarterly, and annual training with that automated tool, because it's gonna give you the most value for your money. Okay? Yeah. Rather than relying upon a person to keep an eye on their calendar and remember to do something, no, schedule those. Then use the other mediums, internal social mm-hmm. networks, lunch and learns, guest speakers, newsletters,
to really drive
email, yes, to really drive the rest of it home and keep that level of education high, you know? But I like the automated tools, you know, mm-hmm. because you can schedule the entire year, you know? Mm-hmm. And I will say this much. If you ever get audited, like we have a SOC 2 audit for our organization, okay? Mm-hmm. If you ever get audited, the auditors are going to ask you about your security awareness training program, and they're going to want proof.
Well,
okay,
and not only that, the insurance carriers are really cracking down, looking for this.
Oh, yeah.
This is most underwriters or most carriers now want to see this.
So you had Fifth Wall on here earlier, okay?
Yeah, Fifth Wall Solutions.
They'll tell you that if a security awareness training program is required and you don't have one, but you tell the insurance company you do, mm-hmm. then should you have an event, they may not pay. The insurance company will say, oh, you lied. You lied when you told us you had a program.
Yeah,
or you lied when you told us it was quarterly.
Yeah, this is no longer these are no longer soft requirements.
No, these are hard requirements.
They are.
Yeah, they're very hard requirements. And they're very important. You know, I love to see quarterly. I like to see monthly. I like to see annually. Heck, Mike, I even personally... Maybe it's because I'm the security engineer, right? I even like to see role-specific training. Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier those C-level people, mm-hmm. right? They tend to be the ones who need more security, right?
Yeah.
So why not have a training program for the C-suite?
Right.
Okay? If you've got office administration people, you know, HR deserves HR-related training.
We did a series many, many years ago, probably 15 years ago, called Security in the Boardroom.
Okay, there you go. Yeah,
and you know, I'd love to get back to that because when you're an executive or C-level, you know, in the C-level suite, you're an equity stakeholder, whatever, you tend to look at things a little differently. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not in the thick of it every day. Sometimes you're a little bit, you're a few layers removed. So your involvement in the day-to-day is definitely, less.
Well, and those people in that, the C-suite folks, they tend to have access to different kinds of information. Mm-hmm. Okay. So like the kid who installs your printers does not have access to the financials of the company. The C-suite does. Okay. So there's juicy information that's valuable that those guys have access to. And also, I hate to say this because they don't all do this. Okay. But as a C-suite person, you have power and authority within an organization, okay? You can actually cause security to be downgraded. You shouldn't, but you can. I've worked places where I've looked at websites we were allowing and said, why are we allowing that? No, well, because somebody in the C-suite said they need that website for their fantasy football game. Oh, okay, it's not business related. It should not be allowed, okay? But because this person's in the C-suite, the IT team is afraid to tell them no. Okay, and the C-suite people sometimes make security worse, right? Or they share their password with a secretary or an office administrator or personal assistant so that that person can log in their email while you're busy. You know, things that if a user did it, we'd have a fit. Mm-hmm. But because the C-level did it and they're important, they're a VIP, we tend not to complain about them. Yeah. They definitely need it. So why not a C-suite training program? And if you're a financial organization, and you do wire transfers of money, a special training program for your wire transfer people, a special training program for your IT people, because IT people run into things that no one else in the company sees, you know, things like that. So, and we in the business, we call this role-based security training. Mm-hmm. Just like we use role-based authentication and access control to silo off sections of data in the network, we should be training people the same way. You know, the HR person doesn't need to know about wire transfers, and the wire transfer doesn't need to know about HR HIPAA requirements, but we should be training each of those departments in their specific specialty to make sure that they're not getting taken advantage of in their specialty, which does happen.
Yep, they're an easy target. So we've covered a lot of stuff today, you know, but I do have a question for you, and this gets off the topic just a little bit, but this is future stuff we're gonna talk
about. Okay.
We touched a little bit on MDR, Managed Detection and Response, which will probably be one of the next segments we have.
Excellent. Very important topic.
Next one, but, you know, you talked about that a little bit in terms of, you know, that 24/7, hey, things are happening. You know, what's detecting and how are you responding?
Mm-hmm.
You used the example of people, you know, if the tree falls in the woods and no one hears anything right. really happen. You know, just to whet the appetite a little bit for future segment, what's your thoughts on MDR and, you know, how does that play into, you know, an organization's security posture? Because I know in this company, that is like one of the pillars, the foundational pillars.
Oh, yeah.
We look for that. We try to implement that. In fact, all of our managed services clients have that by default.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to pick your brains a little bit on it.
So MDR, how does an organization protect absolutely every unit in the entire organization?
Every endpoint.
At the same time, all the endpoint. How do you protect them all? You know, when I first got into security, Mike, we barely had antivirus, okay? Oh, yeah. Over 30 years ago, we didn't have firewalls. We didn't have intrusion detection systems. We didn't have proxies. There were no VPNs. Encryption was difficult to use.
We had a router.
Yeah, you had a router, exactly. Right, so back then, we protected the entire network by putting up gigantic, massive firewalls and security controls, saying ingress, egress. That's the threat. We're worried about bad things coming into our network. And we're worried about good things leaving our network. So we're going to watch that portal, that ingress, egress portal, and we're going to watch it like hawks. But that resulted in a condition, insecurity, that we jokingly refer to as crunchy on the outside, soft and squishy in the middle. Okay? Kind of like your hard shell candy that melts in your mouth, but not in your hands. Right? It's got a hard shell on the outside, but inside it's squishy, it's soft. If you're not armoring the inside of your network in today's age of information technology, one process, if it gets into your network, can run amok. Right. One attacker who gets in can hit everybody. So we have to, we used to just be able to watch the front door. Mm-hmm. And that was good enough. It's not today. Today we, well, first of all, we have more doors than just one.
Yeah.
Okay? We have wireless. We have back doors. We have support contracts where we're letting third-party vendors come in from other countries. All sorts of stuff, right?
So every endpoint in the organization, whether it's a workstation or a server.
You make all of them, MDR takes every endpoint and makes them all part of your security solution.
Yeah, and I've noticed, some providers of endpoint detection, managed detection and response.
Yep.
It's an all or nothing game. Every endpoint's got to have it. You can't leave any endpoints really without it.
I see where they're coming from. I really do. Because what if, if I took a department that had 50 computers in it, and I said, we're only going to protect 25 of them. Who decides which 25?
Yeah.
Okay. What makes the first 25 more important than the last 25? You know?
Right.
And big questions I would ask would be, if I protect the first 25, then what happens to those first 25 if one of the back 25 gets infected or gets attacked or becomes compromised? And they turn around and start attacking each other. Will the first 25 still see it? If it comes from somebody inside, can't guarantee that. You have to make everybody part of the solution. You know, just like, think about, I hate to use the sports analogy, okay? But if you have a sporting team and there's supposed to be 11 people on the field, mm-hmm. and you've got 9 of them wearing protection and 2 of them are out there without pads and helmets, okay? Those guys are going to get creamed, okay?
Right, right.
They're going to get hurt. They're going to become injured. They may no longer be available for the team.
And they compromise the entire posture of the organization.
The entire organization is at risk now. Are you going to win with those two guys injured on the sideline? Maybe not. But if you protect all 11 of them to the same level, you got a better chance of surviving. You got a better chance of succeeding. And that's the way I see MDR. Protect every single endpoint. Don't leave endpoints unprotected.
Yeah. It's 24/7, and usually, well, at least with our solution, it's tied to a SOC, a security operations center.
The only way,
24/7, looking at everything.
Everything. The only way I would ever consider not protecting an endpoint with the MDR, if I had MDR in my organization, mm-hmm. and if I had an organization, it would. Okay. The only reason I would not do it would be if that was some sort of a weird legacy machine, right? Like there was software running on it that won't run on modern versions mm-hmm. of Windows, so it had to run on a crappy old version of Windows. And so it wasn't compatible with the MDR because it was using a really old version of Windows. That could happen. I've seen it happen, right? Sure. If that was the case, then I would take that machine and segregate the snot out of it. I would that thing would be surrounded by multiple firewalls and have all sorts of watchdogs, and right, you know, because without the MDR, that is now my soft, vulnerable underbelly.
Right.
That is the machine mostly going to be the entry point for an intrusion.
Right.
No, I want to MDR every single endpoint. I don't want to leave any of them unturned.
I just wanted to whet everybody's appetite because that is going to be one of the next segments that we have. We're also going to talk about EDR, endpoint detection and response. We're going to get into the differences between MDR and EDR.
But there are differences, yeah.
Or another term now is XDR. But for today's segment, security awareness training, very important. You heard Ish, it's one of the top 3 things.
One of my top 3. Teach your users and teach them well and teach them often.
With that, we'll wrap it up. Until next time, folks, we appreciate you tuning in and keep in touch and stay tuned for our next segment. Thanks, everybody. Have a great one.